Okay. Should we count the people connected to the headquarters? Okay, let me just give you a moment of background.
Is this on? I pressed the button, you told me to.
A moment of background, why we have this shiur here. This is the mitzvah of buying the dalet minim and shaking the dalet minim on sukkahs is a very, very special mitzvah. The only way a person could feel really connected to it and have the proper simcha when you're shaking the dalet minim is if you feel connected to it, that you know something about it, you chose something out. Many people have their dalet minim chosen for them. Even people who have dalet minim chosen for them, you come home and there's a package waiting for you. There is no automatic heter, an automatic hechsher on the dalet minim. If a person is shaking an esrig and a luluf that's fossil, doesn't make a difference what it said on the bag and what it said on the box, and it could say lechazinish, it could say Moshe Rabbeinu, it has nothing to do with your esrig. If your esrig is kosher, it's kosher. If your esrig is not kosher, it's not kosher. Unfortunately, no matter how many times you'll see chazinish written on your dalet minim, the chazinish did not see your esrig or your luluf and hadassim and aravas, and no matter which rav it says on the packages of hadassim, he probably did not go through these hadassim. They have little bachrim younger than yourself who know less than you know now about hadassim, checking the hadassim. They give them a few basic rules, and if there's a big emergency, they call hatzalah, and if there's a small emergency, they call the rav, and they find out if this is a kosher hadassim or not. So the hechsherim that a person has on the dalet minim, we'll discuss with each min b'fnei atzma exactly what the hechsher means, but it definitely does not replace knowing the halachas, the minimum halachas, exactly what's kosher and what's possible in the dalet minim. The first shiur we're going to have is tonight. It's going to be on the inyan of esrig. We're going to have one shiur during Aseret Yemei Tshuva about lulav, and the third shiur we'll talk about hadassim and aravas together, which doesn't have that many halachas, and also with the seder anatila, exactly how you're supposed to put it together and shake and all that. So the first year is esrig because the pasuk says, "Ulekachten lachem b'yom arishayin." You should take on the first day of Sukkot, pre eitz hadar, kapos tamarim, va'anaf eitz avos, va'arvei nochal. Pre eitz hadar is the ikur for tonight. This is referring to the esrig. Now, the identity of the esrig was never in question. We know exactly what an esrig is. It's a Messiah given to Moshe Rabbeinu on our Sinai, from Moshe to Yeshua, Yeshua is the Canaan. There was never a problem. However, let's start categorizing the halachas we're going to have to know. Din number one is that we have to be sure that we're taking an esrig. Sounds simple enough, right? When you take the esrig, you have to make sure it's an esrig. Now, how do we know something is an esrig? So, as I said, there was a Messiah from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, exactly what an esrig is. There was never a shaila. The only shaila that came up about an esrig, which is something that's probably the most important shaila these days, is the shaila of something called an esrig hamurkov, which means a grafted esrig. They would take the branch of an esrig tree and mix it with another citrus fruit, and they would come out with something that looks like an esrig. And the question is, if this has a din of an esrig, and all the poskim said, this doesn't have a din of an esrig at all, eino esrig klal, it's not called an esrig. An esrig that's a half esrig, it's a grafted esrig, that's something that's not called an esrig. The reason why this shaila does not come up at all in the Gemara and the Rishonim is because in those days, people did not play around with esrigim. When you had an esrig orchard, so you kept it to esrigim, and if you had oranges and lemons, you kept it with their min. However, in the times of the Ramah, there were two tshuvas that the Ramah has about esrig hamurkav, and from then on became very prevalent the shaila of esrig hamurkav. And an esrig that is grafted is not purely from the family of esrig. That's something that is definitely possible. It's loy mikri esrig klal. Now the question is, when you go to your meicher and you buy an esrig, he's going to tell you it's an esrig. So how do you know if he's telling the truth? How do you know if what you're buying is an esrig, or if it's something that may look similar to an esrig, but is really a lemon from ShopRite? So, right, it looks like a nice small esrig. But how do you know that, we'll get back to this in a minute, but how do you know that what you're buying is truly an esrig? The answer is one answer alone, and that is the hechsher. The hechsher that's on the esrig, like I said before, it doesn't tell you anything about the kashrus of this specific esrig, but it tells you about the yichus of this esrig. Where does this esrig come from? When they say an esrig is a chazinish esrig, what that means is that the chazinish made a bracha on a certain esrig, and people trusted that he probably knew whether it's b'mesayro or b'ruach hakodesh, that he knew that this esrog was not an esrog hamurkav. They took the chazanish's esrog after yantif and they planted it and planted an esrog tree, and from that became a whole paradise of esrogim. And you know that you're taking an esrog that's, so to speak, the einikol of the esrog that the chazanish made a bracha on. Therefore, you could feel comfortable making a bracha on this esrog. A badatz eidah charedis hechsher means that the people in badatz eidah charedis checked up the paradise and the source where it was originally planted from, and they have a Messiah back and back in order to make sure that the esrog is not murkav. Every box of esrogim that you look at will say b'chezkas bilti murkavim, which means that there's a chazaka that it's not murkav. That's true, that's minimum standard, but the question is, who's putting their stamp on it? That it's, and I'm not going to go through now all the politics, what's a good hechsher, what's not a good hechsher, but you have to find out from your rav or from someone you trust exactly what's a good hechsher. Most people in America buy esrogim that have a hechsher of badat zeh charedus. There's a chazanish esrog. There's all different types of hechsherim, and you just have to make sure that the hechsherim are reliable. And again, the hechsherim do not tell you that the esrog that's inside this box is kosher. They put the hechsher on the box before they decided which esrog is going into the box. It just means that this is not murkav. Now, the paiskim do bring down simanim that you can tell how something is an esrog and not a murkav. An esrog is more bumpy, a lemon is more smooth, and other simanim that the Mishnah Berurah says. However, these are not so relevant to halacha, because the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Chassam Sofer already that since these simanim are not mefurish in the Torah, so you can't rely on these simanim for a daraisa. Besides the fact that in today's advanced technology, all the simanim that they say of something that you could tell that it's an esrog and not a murkav, they can make today murkavim that have all the simanim that the Mishnah Berurah says of an esrog. So we can't just rely and look through the Mishnah Berurah and say, okay, I could tell that this is an esrog and not a lemon and not a grafted esrog. So therefore, the only thing we could rely on, says the Mishnah Berurah, is a hechsher, which includes, first of all, a reliable meicher, that he's not mixing around the esrogim with different boxes. You have to buy from someone who you trust, and you have to know where he got it from. He has to tell you, I got it from this in this paradise. And secondly, besides being a reliable person, the box that you are taking the esrog from has to have a chasima, a hechsher on it. Okay, so this is din number one, which is that you have to make sure it's an esrog, which means you have to buy an esrog with a proper hechsher. The second din that's nageya on sukkahs is that you have to buy an esrog that shouldn't be too small. The Gemara says that the minimum shear of an esrog is a shear called a kabeitza. It's the size of an egg. Now, size of a kabeitza is not so big, so you don't have to worry. I don't know if you'll find an esrog smaller than a kabeitza. However, there is a catch. And the catch is that the tzlach, who's the Noida B'Yehuda, the tzlach in Psachim, Daf Kuf Tez Ayin Amid Beis, says a big yisoid, that these days niskat nu habeitzim. The beitzim became smaller than the times of Chazal, and therefore any time Chazal tell us that you need a kabeitza, really what you need today, when you're measuring today's kabeitza, is two kabeitzim. You need double the amount of shear of what the Chazal say, because niskanu habeitzim, the beitzim that we're measuring with, got smaller, so you need two in order to equal the one beitzah of Chazal. And the Chazanish says we have to go with this on a mitzvah d'oraisa, we go with the tzlach, and therefore it's esrog has to be two beitzim. It's hard to measure it exactly in inches, and it depends on a lot of different variables. So the paiskim made it a little easier for us, and they gave us an amount of weight, that if the esrog weighs this amount, then you could be sure that it's that it makes the minimum shear of esrog, and that weight, they said, was 100 grams, which in English means 3.5 ounces. If an esrog weighs 3.5 ounces, which again, a pretty small esrog will still weigh 3.5 ounces, then you could be sure. They have these little scales. Sometimes the meicher esrog can have, if you're mesufik, if you're getting an esrog that's pretty small, you can put it on the thing. If it's more than 3.5 grams, you're okay. 3.5 ounces, then you're okay. However, even though the minimum shear is 3.5 grams, that's going to be the two beitzim that we need. This important thing to keep in mind is, first of all, Taisus in Bava Kama, Daftes. Taisus in Bava Kama says that there's a din of hiddur mitzvah to get more than the minimum shear. You should pay even more money to buy an esrog that has that's not exactly mitzumtzum, exactly the minimum shear. You should get it a little bigger. So you shouldn't be playing around there with 3.5 ounces. Anything less than 4 ounces, it's very close. You should get an esrog that's a little bit bigger. The second issue, besides the hiddur mitzvah issue, is that sometimes throughout the yontif, the esrog tends to shrivel, believe it or not. Not in a major quantity, but it shrivels a little bit after the use of it. And therefore, sometimes if you buy a mitzumtzum dika esrog, you might have had an esrog kashir the first day of Yantif, but by the sixth day of Yantif, your Esrig is already a borderline on the shear, and you could be making a bracha levatala. Therefore, it's advisable to get an Esrig that's a little bit bigger. The lemon that I just showed you before is, you probably won't find a Sregim so small. This is probably more than the minimum shear anyway, but I would look in an Esrig for something a little bigger than this, something that's 3.5 ounces of weight. And if you get it bigger than this, then surely if you have the scale there that can measure it, you shouldn't run into a problem of pachas mikashir. So in order to make sure you're getting an esrig, you have to buy it with a good hechsher. And then number two is that it shouldn't be too small. You should make sure that it's 2 kibbutzim, plus a little bit more for the hiddur mitzvah, and to avoid the chash of being nitztamek, of shriveling up on yontif. Okay, then number three is now when we get to the esrig itself. The actual esrig, what type of esrig are we getting? The basic two types of esrig that you'll be seeing is the esrig with a pitim and the esrig without a pitim. A pitim is the top, the little piece of wood that's on top, that's really where the esrig grows from. That's the first part of the esrig that grows on the tree. And some esrogim you'll find with a pitim. Most esrogim, probably 99% of the esrogim you'll be looking at, will not have a pitim. Well, what we have to know then, as background information, is that there's a Mishnah in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, that says, Nitla pitmasai pasa. If the pitim of an esrig is taken off, it's pasal. This is a Mishnah with Adam Achlokas. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Nitla pitmasa is pasal. If that's the case, why are 99% of the esrogim that people are buying with esrig without a pitim? This is because of the Ramah. The Ramah says in Sif Zayin, in the Simen of Esrig, which is Simen Tof Reish Mem Ches, in Sif Zayin, the Ramah says, V'chol zeh davko she nitla. Dafka, if it had a pitim and it fell off. The pitim was taken off or it fell off because someone dropped it. However, if the esrig never had a pitim, then it's not possible. When the pitim falls off, that's a psul. Nitla pitmasa is psula. But that the esrig is possible. But if it never had a pitim, then it's kosher. Zokter Amar, v'chein roiva esrogim shemivim bimdino isa'elu. Most of the esrogim, we could say this is definitely true about America and Eretz Yisrael today, roiv esrogim that come in these medinos are esrogim that don't have a pitim. Now we should just qualify what it means that an esrog never had a pitim. There's no such thing as an esrog that never had a pitim, because the first part of the esrog that grows is the pitim. That's the part that it grows from. So what it means that it never had a pitim in halacha, it means that the pitim fell off at an early enough stage that we could consider it halacha that it grew without a pitim. Even though it started with a pitim, if it falls off at an early enough stage on the tree in its development that the pitim fell off, so then that's called an halacha, an esrog that grew without a pitim. The Ramah says that is most esrogim. Most esrogim grow without a pitim, and therefore we could take an esrog that never had a pitim. Here comes the big question: when you go and buy an esrog, and the esrog that the meicher is selling you doesn't have a pitim, how do you know if the esrog grew without a pitim, or if it fell off 5 minutes ago and the guy kicked it to the side and he's showing you an esrog that was nitla pitmasai and is pasal, you can't make a bracha on it? So this is a very serious shaila, and because of this, Rabbi Eliashiv in Eretz Yisrael, the Pesach Adar, he only buys esrogim with a pitim. You always see those pictures on the Hishanis, you know, of the Gedolim shaking the Dalaminim. Rabbi Eliashiv will always have an esrog with a pitim, because he says, very vase, who knows if it's nitla pitmasai. The Meicher tells me this never had a pitim. Very nice, maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. You could only be 100% safe if you buy an esrog with a pitim. However, if you buy an esrog with a pitim, you're running the risk that if you drop it, or if you bump it into something and the pitim falls off, then it's vadai kasha, because you know it's nitla pitmasai. So you have to be very careful. If you do go with the way of buying an esrog with a pitim, you have to be extra careful before yontif and throughout the entire yontif, whether you give it to your little brother or give it to your kids if you're married, or just stop, walk around uncarefully, you put it down on the table for Shemen Esrei or Halal, you have to be very careful that it shouldn't fall off or it shouldn't bump into anything, because if the pitim falls off, nitla pitmasai is vadai pasul. Now, as I said, most esrogim are being sold without a pitim. And if you're going to make yourself crazy to find an esrog with a pitim, which I have done many years, I end up, even after making myself crazy, I end up buying an esrog without a pitim. You have to understand that the esrogim with a pitim are very few. Few and far in between, and many times you're going to compromise on the quality of the esrog, the other dinim that we're going to learn, the cleanliness, the important things about an esrog, if you go with an esrog with a pitim. You go to the store, they say, no, this is a whole paradise we grew without pitims. You want one with a pitim? They bring you this one with from the back of the store with a pitim on it, has black spots and white spots and all different funny things on it. It's not the same quality as the esregim without a pitim. The only beautiful esreg that I saw with a pitim is the one in the pictures of Rabbi Eliashiv Taka with the Shoshana, with the Ishanas. They gave him the prize esreg. But it's very hard to find such a beautiful, clean esreg with a pitim on it. And most esregim Taka, like the Ramah says, grow without a pitim. So if you have a reliable meicher and he tells you that he knows he got it from a certain paradis, and this paradis every year it grows without pitims, you could rely on that meicher and buy an esreg without a pitim, especially since you'll be getting a better quality esreg. You just have to do a little bit of inquiry. You don't have to be embarrassed. I do it every year. And you ask the meicher, how do you know this didn't have a pitim? And he'll probably laugh at you and he'll say, oh, my esregim don't have pitim. We get it from this paradis. Fine. So at least you've done your inquiry by Nish Neman. And of course, the person is Nagea Badavar. But even so, you could ask him. And if he says, this is the way the esregim grow, you could rely on the Ramah. There is an added aid that the Mishnah Berurah brings from the Paiskim, which is that sometimes you could tell there's a simen where the pitim was on the top of the esrog, that you could know that the pitim didn't fall off, that the esrog grew without a pitim, and that is in the place where the pitim normally is. Sometimes there's a very smooth curve, looks like a little dip, and that shows that when esrogim, when the pitim falls off early enough, that it's called an esrog that grew without a pitim. That curve is usually there, and if you find that in the place of the pitim is a beautifully smooth curve, that's a simen that the pitim was never there, and it's okay. Although you'll find many esrogim that don't have a pitim and don't have that curve. It's like very flat. It looks like mamash it got chopped off. But since the Ramah says, Roiv esrogim b'dinei se'elu come without pitims, and many Bali Pardis will tell you this, that 99.9% of their esrogim year after year grow without a pitim, which means that it fell off at an early enough stage that it's called growing without a pitim. Therefore, if you do basic inquiries and you hear that it grew without a pitim, then you could rely on such a esrogim and you could buy it, surely because, you know, you could try first to say, give me your nicest esrog with a pitim. But like I said, the quality is usually inferior with a pitim, plus you have to be extra careful there not to drop it and make a vada nitla pitmasai. So that's why most people are buying a esrogim without a pitim. Okay, so din number three was about the pitim. Again, with the pitim you're in good hands, but you have to be very careful, you have to have good hands. And without the pitim, so then you, to avoid the chash of nitla pitmasai, you have to make sure that it was taka grown without a pitim and not that it fell off. Okay, now comes the actual thing that people are checking. Yes? Yeah, I don't think it's considered a neder mitzvah, because every year is a new mitzvah of esrog. You try to get the best esrog possible. Different years, the best esrogim look differently. That's all. So now, the next halacha is concerning the spots on the esrog. This is really if the esrog, to see whether it has a pitim or not, you could see right away. And whether it has a hefter or not, you saw on the box. And whether it was small enough also, if you look at it, you make sure you pick one that's not too tiny, not the pachas mikashir, you're okay. Now comes the scrutinizing, the looking at the esrog itself to make sure that it's a kosher esrog, and after that, to be that it's a mehudadik esrog, that it's an esrog that's best for our mitzvah. Now, what about the spots on the esrog? Which spots are a problem, which spots are not a problem, and where? So the main issue, again, there's a lot of halachas. The point of this year is to simplify all the halachas that are practical and that come up. The main problem with the spots on the esrogim is when there's one spot that passes, which is on the chaitim. The word chaitim means a nose, and the chaitim of the esrog is exactly like your nose, the part that starts bending upward. Some people call it the top third, but it's top half. And every esrog is different. There's no shear of how much of the esrog it is. The main point is that it starts now curving upward. That part is the biggest chumrah, and that's because that's nearer the ayin the most, and that's called the chaitim of the esrog. And the chaitim of the esrog, even one spot passes. One spot that there is in the esrog, that passes. Now, it depends what color that spot is. And in order to see the exact accurate color, a person has to make this final psak, you show it to a rav to make sure he knows esrogim and the metzias of esrogim. You're best off to show it in the daytime. Sometimes at night you could see something very clearly, but if there's a suffix, exactly what color, the best thing is in the daytime, because even with all the modern technology and all the fluorescent lights, they have yet to duplicate the sun that the Rabbeinu Shalom put up in the sky, and the sun is the best way that you can tell exactly the color and the shade of the spot. Now, the bad spots that we're looking to avoid is the spot that's lavan and the spot that's shachar. Lavan means white and shachar is black. These are the spots that are problematic. What's the din of lavan? The din of lavan, again, there's many different shades of white. If you go to, you buy like all different colors in art, you could find probably 25 shades of white, if not more. So what's called lavan that passes b'mashu on the chaytim of an esed? So the Tiferes Yisrael in Sukkah says that it has to be lavan b'yoyser. Lavan b'yoyser means very white. The paiskim use such lashonis. It has to be a strong, a deep white, a real white. Sometimes you find a color that's an off-white, sometimes it's a beige, it's a gray, something, it has to be a perfectly white. I once had an esrog in Eretz Yisrael. I was very happy with this esrog, but I was nervous there was a white spot on the chaytim, and I was going to put it back. And I said, you know what, before I put it back in my own amaratzes, I'll go to someone who knows esrogim. Maybe this is not the lavan b'yoyser of the Tiferes Yisrael. To me, it looked very lavan, but maybe it's not lavan b'yoyser. And I brought it to probably the biggest mumcha in Yerushalayim, on Dalet Minim. His name is Rabbi Paul Reichman, an American grada. And he looked at the esrog. He said, it's a beautiful esrog, you should take it. So I said, what about the white spot? He said, what white spot? So I showed him the white spot. He said, that's not white, that's off-white, it's gray. Is it? I said, it looks white to me. He said, let me tell you how you understand whether something is lavan b'yoyser or not. Sometimes on the background of a greenish esrog or even a yellowish esrog, something to you looks white. The way you tell if something is lavan b'yoyser is connected a white background. If you have a white background, he says, take a look at it against your shirt, your white shirt. And I would add your freshly laundered white shirt, a clean white shirt, that you look at the esrog next to this white shirt. So then the yellow and the green stands out. And then you compare the white of the spot, the white spot that you're nervous about, to the white of your shirt, or to the white of anything that's a pure white. And then you'll see if the taka pales in comparison to that real white, so then that's not the lavan b'yoyser that's a problem. If it matches up to it, it's really lavan b'yoyser, then you have a problem, even b'mashu, because the spot of lavan, again, if it's on the chaytim, if it's not on the chaytim, you don't have a problem. But if it's on the chaytim, on the part that starts going upwards, so then that's a psul of a spot that is lavan. Now what about shachar? Shachar means black. So again, this is the most common thing that people are looking for when they're looking at an esrog to see if there's a black dot. Sometimes you see a spot, it looks dark, you say, oh, it's a black dot on the chaytim, I don't want it. You show it to a rav, and the rav says, oh, this is brine. It's a brown spot. Brown is not a problem. Even dark brown is not a problem. Black is the problem. So a lot of times you look at something, it looks black, but if you look at it in the sunlight, you'll see that it's really not black. It's really brown. So don't just put back an esrog because you have something that looks black, but if something that to you looks brown, don't just take it without asking. You have to know if it's brown, it's okay. If it's black, it's a problem. Now those are the two main colors that come up, the lavan and the shachar. However, we have to be ma'ir is something that's very, very important. These colors that passel and every other color that's kosher, that's only if the spots came on their own on the esrog. Different outside factors brought along these spots, how they come on an esrog, could be many different ways. However, the poskim say that if the esrog is niklaf, niklaf means that it's peeled, got a little scraped off, which happens sometimes if you handle the esrog with your fingernails. So it can scrape off the skin of the esrog, and then the esrog gets discolored because of the niklaf. Then there are 2 days in Shulchan Aruch. One day is that it becomes pasul even if the spot is discolored to a different color. Let's say it becomes gray or beige, which we said is not a bad color. If it came because of a niklaf, if it came because of being scraped, then it's pasul according to that day. The other day is no, it only becomes pasul if it becomes a shachar or lava. But one day is that it's pasul even if it's a color that wouldn't normally be pasul. And the Mishnah Berurah says we have to be machmer like that shita. And therefore you have to know 2 things. First of all, if you see a spot that's a color that's not so bad, it's like a beige or a brown, you have to be sure that it didn't come through a niklaf. You show it to a rav and ask him, does it look like it came from peeled off? Usually it's a little more bumpy and serrated. If it came from a niklaf, there are people who could tell. You make sure it didn't come from a niklaf. If it came from a niklaf, then you have to be worried about that. Secondly, and this is not so negeah to your esrog, but this is negeah to chayshe mishpat, when you are handling an esrog of a meicher and you're looking at it, the way you should be handling an esrog is not with your fingernails. You look at the esrog with the skin of your fingers. You hold it, you look around, you get all your shilas, but don't put it with your fingernails because then you could make a niklaf and be mafsid the moicher money that he could get. And if no one notices it, you can make someone make a bracha of atala if it becomes puzzle because of that niklaf. So this is an important halacha within the din number 4, which is the din of the spots, that lavan and shachar is a problem. Other colors can also be a problem if it came as a result of a niklaf. And therefore you have to make sure to handle the esrog correctly. And also, if you have a color that's not so bad, it's not black or white, you have to make sure it didn't come as a result of a niklaf. You could check if there are people who know. It's like people are showing it to mumchem to know if it came from a niklaf. There are simanim. If it's a very smooth, perfectly round dot, probably didn't come from a niklaf. That's how most of the black spots are. Probably didn't come from a niklaf. But there are ways to see that it came from a niklaf. Very important rule within this din of the black spot. We said that on the choytam, a black spot and a white spot passes the mashu. Now, what exactly is a mashu? A little bit, but how little bit is a little bit? So there's a very important kula that everybody holds of. It's brought down in all the paiskim. It started from the Mabit. The Mabit said this kula, borderline, Rishayinim, Achayinim. The Mishnah Berurah brings it, Magen Avram, and all the paiskim. Nobody argues on this Mabit. And the Mabit says like this, even though the psul of a black spot or a white spot on the Esrig on the Choytem is b'mashahu, the definition of mashahu means something that you could see without histaklus. Histaklus means looking carefully at it. Something that you could see very easily, without histaklus, without staring at it, then that's possible. But something that you need histaklus for, that's not even called a mashu. Because the dinim of the spots on an esrog is because it's a chisaron of hadar, it's not priya, it's hadar, it's not beautiful. So beautiful depends on what you see. If you can't see the spot, unless you're being mistakel, so the Mabit says, when you hold it down at medium, where are you holding it? Your hand, at arm's length. Right, you're holding it in front of you. So at that point, if you can't see it without histaklus, so then it's hadaru. It's still a zakiyam of hadar, and there is no problem. I've seen people who are mamish looking at an esrog with magnifying glasses and very closely for hours on end in the store of esrogim, and this one is saying the spot is black, and the other one is saying the spot is brown, and then they go to bring the esrog to Rabbi Eliashiv to pass it on the color, because Rabbi Eliashiv, the place of Gadar, he must know color is the best. So they show him, ask him, what color is the esrog? What color is the spot? And he says, there's no spot, and he gives it back to him. And he said, there's no spot, sure, it is right over here. He's like, oh, you're already being mistakel, you don't have to look at that. So this year, there was a tiny spot, they were looking at it to figure it out. It says, it's not called a spot, you don't have to make yourself meshuga. You don't have to make yourself meshuga to find the spot. If you can't see the spot, when you turn around the esrog, lefum riata, just looking at it, then it's not even called a mashu, and therefore it's not possible. Why is everyone looking with the magnifying glass? Because sometimes the spot is very nicker, you could see it right away. It's just unclear what color it is, or if it comes from a niklaf, so you have to look at it with a magnifying glass to see how smooth it is, to figure out if it's niklaf, or to see exactly the color. That's what the gedolim are looking with the magnifying glass. The big mumchim take out their 15 times magnifying glass in order to see the perfect thing, but it's not to spot the spot. If you can't spot the spot on your own, so then that's, and even if you could find it on your own without a magnifying glass, but you needed histaklus, that's something kuli amalei pligi, and it's a very important kula to know. Because sometimes you buy an esrog, you thought it was perfectly clean, and then at the foyant, if you look and you say, oh my gosh, there's a little spot there. But you see, you didn't notice it before, and sometimes it comes on after. But if it's so tiny that you didn't notice it now either, except that you were being mistakel to show it to your chaver or to show it to your father, so then that's something that is already taught in mistakelus, and therefore, you don't have to worry about that. That's what the Mabit says, and that's what down with the Mishnah Berurah. You can rely on that with an easy heart. Okay. So that's the din lagabi, the spots. Now there is something, just good to know the terminology when you're handling with an esrog, there's something called a bletel. Bletel is also one of the terminologies that's thrown around in Hilchas Esrog. Now what is a bletel? A bletel is a little off color of the esrog. It's not the regular green and yellow color of the rest of the esrog. You could usually feel it. It's a little bit rough. It's a little bit of an off-white. And what the word blat, as in a blat gemara, the word blat really means a leaf. And the paiskim in Hilchas Esrog talk about this, that the word bletel was used already back then. It means because there was a leaf on top of the esrog at the time that it ripened, and it didn't get its proper yellow and green color, or a leaf that made a little scratch on it, so the leaf caused it to have this color. Sometimes you could feel the bletel, sometimes you can't feel the bletel, but if the leaf made this thing here, so that's called a bletel. Now, we have to know, what's the din of a bletel? Does it have a din of a spot? Does it have a din of a white spot or a black spot? We have to look at the colors. What's the din of the bletel? So now, the Ramah says about a bletel, yesh la'achshirom, you could be machshir them, mitam d'nechshavim mara esrin. Because it's considered mara esrin. What's a bletel? A bletel is a leaf that, it's a normal esrog, you can grow on esrog trees, and a lot of times you have a leaf there covering it. So the mara esrog, what do you think a mara esrog is? Green, yellow? Wrong. A mara esrog is green and yellow and a little bit of bletelach. That's the mara esrog. That's what the Ramah says, that it's not a problem of hadar, and therefore you could use it. The Mishnah Berurah, however, says that what's the source of the Ramah? The source of the Ramah is a Trumas Hadeshen that says that such a thing is called Mara Esrog. And the Trumas Hadeshen says at the end of this Svara that since it comes in normal, it happens so often, so it's called Mara Esrog. The Trumas Hadeshen says, Vitzarachim. sounds like he's not so excited about this. He says, V'tzarachim. So the Mishnah Berurah is noted that one should be machmir, not to rely on the blatalach either, because the Truma Sadeshin says Tzarachim. However, Rabbi Eliashiv said, and many other Paiskim as well, that even though the Truma Sadeshin says Tzarachim, the Ramah obviously saw the Truma Sadeshin, but the Ramah didn't say V'tzarachim. The Ramah said it that it's Tamar Esrig, and we're not passing like the Truma Sadeshin, we're passing like the Ramah. And the Ramah says that it's Mar Esrig. And if you look around, so many Esrogim are beautiful in all areas, but they have many blatalach. It's definitely safe to say that these days Esrig with blatalach is Mar Esrig. And again, if you could be machmir with the Mishnah Berurah's Natiya Lahachmir to find an Esrig without blatalach on the Chaitim, that would be gewaldig. But it's almost impossible to find an Esrig mamish pure of everything. So if it has no black spots and no white spots, and it has just a little blatal or one or two blatalach, Rabbi Eliashiv and most other Paiskim will tell you based on the Ramah that you have nothing to worry about. Again, if you could find the best Esrig, the Esrig that doesn't have any Blatalach, Matoivu Manoim. And even when you have Blatalach, I would say the less the better. If you have an Esrig that's nice, they both seem equal to you, but one has one Blatal, the other has four Blatalach, yeah, so take the one. It's better to have, it's more Hadar if it has less Blatalach. That's definitely true. But you could rely on the Ramah, as most Paiskim do, that even if an Esrig has Blatalach, that's considered Mare Esrig. Okay, the next halacha we want to discuss, basically just two more things. The next halacha that's important by Esrig is that the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, that if an Esrig is chaser, then it's pasul. What does that mean, chaser? Missing. Some of the Esrig is missing. Now there's a machlokes how much has to be missing, but we paskin that chaser kol shehu is pasul. Now kol shehu again, the way we said from the Mabit, kol shehu means something that you have to see without hisdaklus. That's only by psulim that are possible because it's not hadr. It's not beautiful. So then, if you need hisdaklus, that's already not a chasaron in hadr. Chaser is a different type of psul. Chaser means the etzem esrig is chaser. It's missing something. That, even if you need a magnifying glass to see, but if it's chaser, it's chaser. So that's also something people might be looking at with a magnifying glass. And if an esrig is chaser, and even if it's chaser mashu, it's possible. By the way, when Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, the first day is on Shabbos, so then the whole mitzvah of Dalet Minim is only midrabana, because the rest of the days is only midrabana. The first day is the only mitzvah d'oraisa. Then chaser is allowed, because chaser, the rabbanon weren't geyser on chaser. It says that on the rest of the days of Yontif, besides the first day of Yontif, or the first 2 days in Chutz La'aretz, that you're allowed to have chaser. It says Rabbi Chanina, in the middle of Sukkot, he took a bite out of his esrig, and then he used it for his mitzvah. In the middle of Sukkot, you could have an esrig chaser, not a problem. But the first day of Yontif, you're not allowed to have an esrig that's chaser, and therefore, when we buy an esrig, we have to make sure, this year especially, when there's 2 days of Yontif that are on the weekday, and we're going to shake the mitzvah d'oraisa of Dalet Minim, you have to make sure we go with the shita that an esrig that's chaser mashu. And chaser does not mean the yellow paint that's on top, the yellow coloring that's on top. It means chaser from the gufa esrig. If there's a part of the esrig that's chaser, that it's like the meat of the esrig itself is missing, but even a mashu, so that's something that's possible. Rabbi Stein is going to be selling a Esrogim this year over here. He's starting a Mitzvah Shem Matzai Tzayim Gedalia. So I looked at a lot of the Esrogim already, and I saw that there was one Esrog that had a Shaila V'chasa. I asked him to bring it. That's Esrog. We'll show it after the shir. But yeah, you can leave it here. We'll bring the box also. So there's a Shaila V'chasa. I'm pretty sure there's an Esrog V'chasa. So whoever wants to see after, we could take a look what an Esrog V'chasa is. But you have to make sure when you look at your esrig that it's not an esrig achaser, because then you're making a brachal of atonah on the first day that the esrig shouldn't be. You have to make sure the esrig is not an esrig that's chaser. Okay. The final din, and I want to mention that I think is important about esrogim, is the discussion of the green esrig. Most esrogim you see in the pictures and you remember from previous years are yellow. Here's a beautiful yellow esrig, a nice yellow esrig. However, many esrogim are green. And sometimes the nicest esrogim that you're going to find are very green. So what's the din when an esrog is green? So the Mishnah says, yoroik kakarti, if it's green like a karti, so that's pasul. Now what's kakarti? It's very green. It's something that's not so green, it's a little bit green, it's greenish, yellowish, that's not a problem. Yoroik kakarti, a very strong green, that's going to be pasul. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says as follows. Why is green pasul? Because it shows that it's not 100% ripe. However, if an esrog that's ripe, even if it's green when it's pulled off the tree, what will happen is that with time, say after a week or two, it'll become yellow. And that's a siman that it was ripe already back then. The siman that it ripened. It doesn't always come to its full yellow color on the tree. Sometimes it comes to the yellow color afterwards. So if the esrog is going to turn yellow after yontif, then you could use the green esrog on yontif. Green is not be'etzem apsol. If you have a green esrog on yontif, if it turns yellow after yontif, then you're okay. Here comes the catch 22. But how do you know on yontif when you're shaking a green esrog that it's going to become yellow after yontif? If it becomes yellow, gevaldik, you have a very happy winter. But if it doesn't become yellow, it turns out you made a bracha of atala. So how are you allowed to take a green esrog hoping that it's going to become yellow afterwards? So the Mishnah Berurah says, if it's maschil itzayv, if it already started becoming yellow, that means the green is weakening, and a lot of the esrog is already starting to become yellow, and some of it is mamish yellow, and the rest of it is like you see, it's on a mahalach. So then, that's already, you could rely that in the end of the day, it's going to become yellow. And even if you're taking it all 7 days of Sukkot when it's still green, but as long as it ends up becoming yellow, and you've seen the simanim already beforehand, you could rely on them. However, this is the Ikar Adin of Shulchan Aruch with the Mishnah Berurah. However, there are many paiskim, the Bach among them, and the truth is when you learn the Sugya, many Rishonim, the Rambam and the Ritva, and other Rishonim say this as well, that just like a black spot on the Chaitam passels and a white spot passels, green is also a bad color. Green is one of the Maris Apsulis, not just because it's a simon that it's not ripe. Green is a color that's not considered good on an Esrog, and therefore if you have a Yorek HaKarchi, a strong Yorek, even a spot on the Chaitam of the Esrog, that's going to be a problem according to these Shitas. And according to this, even if it becomes yellow afterwards, doesn't make a difference. The green itself, if you had green on Tesvav Tishrei, when you took the Esrog, if you have green there, it'll be Pepasal. And many Paiskim are therefore Machmer that you should make sure by the time Sukkot comes around, that your Esrog, at least by the Chaitam, doesn't have any starker green on it. Most Esrogim, even if they're green, they're not the green that we're talking about. But some of them, you see the guys in Shul next to you, they're holding a real green Esrog. It's Mamish green. Of course the guy didn't find any spots, because it's so dark, and it's green. That's something that these Paiskim would say is not advisable. I saw a letter that the Briskerov wrote to Rabbi Zalman Meltzer, one summer, and he tells him that it's very hard to get a Sroigim where he is, and he wanted Rabbi Zalman to try to arrange that he should get an Esrog. So he told him the basic things. You think the Brisker Rav had all the Chumras and a Sroigim, told him just basically a few things that he was looking for, and one thing he said is that I'm very mad with that there shouldn't be any spot of green like the Bach and these Paiskim, that there shouldn't be any spot of green on the Chaitim, even though the Mishabu says it's okay, but I want to be Machmir to be Yitzhak Kol HaDeis. And if you learn the Sugya, I'm telling you, in most Rishayim in the Sugya and in Sukkah, that they sound like that, and therefore would definitely be advisable that a person should not have an Esrog that's so green, shouldn't even have one green spot on the Chaitim L'chatchila, should get an Esrog that's closer to yellow. There is a very good Eitzah, if the Esrog that finds favor in your eyes is green, and you want to be sure that it's yellow at the time of Sukkot, so there's an Eitzah to put it in a closed area. The shoebox is the most advised way. Take a shoebox, you put the Esrog there together with two apples. Any color apples, it could be even green apples. You put the two apples on next to the pitam of the esrog, or where the pitam was. You put the esrog down and two apples on the top of the esrog. Then, within a day or two, it's almost vada that the esrog is going to start turning yellow. That makes the esrog, whatever it is there that makes the esrog turn yellow, that's badakum anusa. You just have to be sure not to put the apples on the side of the ukitz, which is the opposite of the pitam, on the bottom side of the esrog, because then it's almost vada that the ukitz is going to fall off. It weakens the ukitz and makes it fall off. Then in certain ways that gets involved in a big soul of if the ukitz falls off in certain ways it's muscle, so you have to be sure not to mess around. You make sure no children are going to move it. You make sure you put it in a shoebox with two apples next to the pitam, and that'll make the esrog become yellow. Yeah, but to avoid complications it's best to get an esrog that's more yellow, and you don't have to worry about the problem of green at all. Okay, so let's summarize the halachas. It's basically seven categories of halachas that are important when we go to buy an esrog for yontif. The first halacha we said is that the esrog has to be an esrog, and not a lemon, or not in a murkav. So therefore you need an esrog with a hechsher. Whether it's a chazinish hechsher, or a banatzei the charedis hechsher, or any other hechsher that your rav tells you about. But it has to have a hechsher, and again, the hechsher does not tell you anything about this specific esrog. The hechsher tells you that this paradise grows esrogim, and not murkavim. That's the first halacha. Second halacha is that it shouldn't be too small, it shouldn't be pachis mikabeita, which we said means pachis mishnei beitzim, and that's basically an esrog has to be a minimum of 3.5 ounces in order to be sure that you made that shear. And as we said, you shouldn't buy the smallest esrog in town, you should make it a little better, a little bigger, as Tosis and Bava Kama says, a hidr mitzvah, to have it a little bigger, befrat over yontif, it might shrivel a drop, so you don't want to be mitzamsing 3.5 ounces, you should get something at least 4 ounces, something that's a little bit bigger. That was din number two. Then number three, we discussed the pitim. Again, if you have get an esek with a pitim, then you know for sure it's not nitla pitmasai, but you have to be sure not to drop it and not to make sure the pitim falls off, then you'll have a vada nitla pitmasai. If you get an esek without a pitim, then you rely on the Ramah that says that roiva esroigim taka grow without a pitim. You just have to ask the moicher or the where the esek comes from to be sure that he says that in this paradise, most of the esroigim grow without a pitim, so that you could be sure that it grew without a pitim and not that the pitim fell off. The fourth halacha we said was the spots that passel. That's the ikar, the shachar and the lavan b'yoseh, the very white, and the shachar, the real black. And as we said, those spots passel b'mashehu on the chaitam, but only if you near a b'li histaklis, if from arm's length you're able to see it right away without histaklis, then it passels. Anything less than that is not a problem of hadar. The fifth halacha we spoke about was the bletel. The bletel, the Mishnah Berurah said it's advised if you don't have bletelach, but other paiskim said that it's mara esrik. And as we said, you could rely on those paiskim. However, the fewer the better. If you find an esrog with less bletelach, that's better than an esrog that has more bletelach. The sixth halacha we said is chaser, even a kosher umamish is possible, and that we have to make sure that it's not chaser from the guf esrog. And since this year we have a mitzvah on the first day, so that's not kapasal. The psul of chaser doesn't apply b'shar yamim on a year where the first day is Shabbos. You don't have to worry about this halacha. But a year like this year where the first day is not Shabbos, so you have to make sure that the esrog is not chaser. And the final thing that we said about green, the main thing is that it shouldn't be green that you're afraid that it's not ripe. It has to be maskul itzoiv, like the Mishnah Berurah says, start becoming a little yellow to make sure that it's going to fully become yellow, and then you're sure that the esrog that you took on Sukkot was ripe. We said many paiskim amachmir also that you shouldn't have any spot of green on the chaitim, just treating green just like we treated white and black, that you shouldn't have a spot that you could see b'li histaklus on the chaitim, because green might passel like white and black. Okay, so if you go through these halachas and you chazen them, you take a paper with you, or you memorize it by heart, when you go buy a esrogim, again, Rabbi Stein is selling a esrogim here, I saw the esrogim, he has Baruch Hashem, very good schayer of beautiful esrogim. Wherever you're going to get your esrogim, make sure that it meets these qualifications. And again, a person should keep in mind that sometimes the nice esrog that you're going to find and feel the connection to the mitzvah is not the first esrog. And just like when you buy a suit, and when you buy shoes, so you make sure it is a perfect fit, and you make sure it goes to your liking, the mitzvah should be no less. The person should spend time trying to get a very nice esrog, and if a person's father gets esrog for them, or they're able to get it in closed packages, by all means open it up before Yontif and see it, not just because of the seal that you might not be able to open on Yontif, but even if it's not a problem of that, you want to see the esrog beforehand to make sure that the esrog is a perfect esrog, to make sure that it has all these halachas. Okay.